Dr. Yellen climbs Capitol Hill. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. What should we make of that confusing unemployment report from the other day? Is there enough worry about the jobs market to keep the central bank stimulus going a bit longer? The person you'd want to ask is the new chair of the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen, who appears before the House Financial Services Committee in about 3 hours. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
Yellen's responses will be dissected for every scrap of meaning. Is the job market healthier? Is inflation a danger? Are emerging markets a threat? Bernard Baumol of the Economic Outlook Group.
I believe that Janet Yellen will be as careful and as forthright and candid as Ben Bernanke, the departure from the kind of obfuscation that we saw with Greenspan.
Baumol says Yellen will try not to speculate on hypotheticals, like what'll the Fed do if an emerging market defaults, if Congress doesn't raise the debt ceiling. Karen Petru at Federal Financial Analytics says critics who want to limit the Fed's powers won't hesitate to grill Yellen.
It's one of the few areas where the Republicans and more liberal Democrats really agree. They think the Fed is being too good to the big banks.
One thing the new Fed chair doesn't want is to start out having her regulatory wings clipped. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Now, our global focus this morning, the European Union is trying to figure out what to do with a non-member in their midst after voters in Switzerland passed a referendum to put limits on the number of foreigners who can live and work there. The BBC's Imogen Folks is in Geneva. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell me about some of these new restrictions after the vote over the weekend.
Well, what the Swiss voted for is to reintroduce quotas on immigration, which means that the amount of people allowed into the country will be limited. At the moment, Switzerland has an agreement with the European Union which allows what's called free movement of labour. So anyone from the EU can come in and work. We don't know whether there will be specific nationalities or professions restricted, but there will be restrictions that moves Switzerland away from common European policy on free movement of labor.
And Switzerland, we should underscore, is not actually a member of the EU, but it's adopted treaties so it can participate in the single market. And a central principle of that is free movement of goods, but of people. So there is this contradiction now.
Yes, I think Switzerland's in a very difficult position now in, as regards its relationship with the European Union. Now, Brussels has always said to Switzerland that it can't just be a non-member and cherry-pick the parts of EU policy that it likes. So in the wake of that vote, Brussels diplomats are looking very hard at the treaties it has with Switzerland and wondering basically what kind of sanctions it might impose.
The BBC's Imogen Folks in Geneva, thank you.
Thank you.
Now let's check the numbers. The FT 100 stock index in London is up 0.9% at the moment. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong went up 1.8% overnight. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. CVS, the drugstore, and Sprint, the phone company, will announce profits and losses as the day wears on. In many parts of the world, people see the post office as a kind of humble bank with even slower lines, with savings and checking accounts available there. Now the Inspector General of the Post Office in the U.S. is calling for post offices here to provide basic financial services to help low-income people and to shore up its own balance sheet. Kate Davidson reports.
If you want to meet unbanked and underbanked people, go stand outside Ace Cash Express in Arlington, Virginia. Stephen Foster just paid off a $500 payday loan.
And interest was $136.
That gives his short-term loan an annual percentage rate of several hundred percent. He can't get a loan from his bank.
If that's what they say I have to pay, I pay. I don't have no problem with that. I mean, they've been good to me, so, you know, hey.
Most people here say they're grateful to have somewhere to cash checks and pay bills. But a block away, there's a post office. And if Postal Inspector General David Williams had his way, it would offer the same services for less. He says that would be a huge draw for the 68 million people who are underserved by banks. And
in a pretty desperate situation, they live in economic deserts today. They don't have access to anyone other than these enterprises that charge 300%. Plus.
Williams wants post offices to provide debit cards, savings products, even simple loans. He says collecting a fraction of the money now spent on interest and fees for payday lenders and other banking alternatives would bring in $9 billion a year. That's the payoff for the Postal Service, which has lost $25 billion since 2011. So, win-win? Lauren Saunders is with the National Consumer Law Center. She likes parts of the proposal.
Getting into loans, I think, is a little more of a tricky area.
The idea is borrowers would arrange to have loan payments automatically withheld from their paychecks. Low risk, right?
A lender may feel confident they're going to collect on your loan if they get to take part of your paycheck before you get it. But that doesn't mean you can afford it and that you can make it through the month and pay for the necessities and expenses that you have without getting yourself into a cycle of debt.
Even with better terms, many low-income people can't afford more debt. Still, the Inspector General's postal banking idea is gaining steam with congressional Democrats. The Postal Service itself has no position. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
And you know, it's getting deep into a second term when the chatter starts rising about the eventual presidential library. Politico has a piece about the competition for President Obama's eventual library. The University of Chicago may think it has a lock, but the president also went to Columbia here. And let's not forget Hawaii. The site has to be worked out soon so the National Archives can coordinate the extensive logistical operations. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.